Amen. If you need a Bible, raise your hand. The ushers will get you a Bible. And if you have your Bible, turn to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. We'll be looking at verses 1 through 3. And the title is, What Does God Desire of a Child? As I mentioned last week, in verse 15 of chapter 5, Paul exhorted the Ephesians to walk circumspectly. Walking circumspectly is like someone walking on a tightrope wire. Every foot they put out in front of them is secure before they lift up the other foot and place it down. We need to have our walk one step in front of the other and secure on solid ground. And that's what he's saying. Walk circumspectly. And then he shared with us how to walk in certain areas. And as I mentioned, we can break that down into two classifications. Our walk with God, which is vertical, how we respond and live and react with God in our worship with him. And when that is in order, the next place, the horizontal, which is our relationship with others, naturally falls into place, and it's not difficult to go ahead and to live in that horizontal plane because our vertical with God is already in order. He starts that horizontal plane with a relationship of submitting to one another. Basically, that what that means is you actually think that other people are better than yourselves. Sometimes that's difficult for our flesh, but that's well-pleasing to God. So submit. Think of others more than yourself. Then Paul moves to the next one that we looked at last week, and that's in the marriage relationship. And you can pick that up on CalvaryElCentro.com, or you can get a CD of it. Marriage is very important, and for those of you that are married, I highly encourage you to go to the marriage couples ministry that we have here. The next one is this Saturday at 6 o'clock. It's a potluck. We meet in the multi-blessing room. We're going through a book called Love and Respect, and that's exactly what verse 33 says. Nevertheless, let each one of you in particular so love his own wife as himself, and let her husband see that she respects or honors her husband. This goes into detail on how we are to do this and how, with great effort, the author went into this and showing us practical ways of doing this. Marriages are being healed. It's just been a great blessing. I encourage you, don't start it and then drop off of it like many have. Continue to go in there and do that. But you can pick up my message from last week because I talked about marriages and how God uses marriages to show a world a oneness that he offers to mankind. So I encourage you to pick that up. The marriage couples retreat, or not retreat, excuse me, ministry. It's always the first and the third Saturday. Always the first and the third Saturday at 6 o'clock. So I encourage you to come to that. Now, in our text today, verses 1 through 3 of chapter 6. And it says, Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor your father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you, and you will live long on the earth. Children, obey your parents in the Lord. Let me set the stage of how this epistle was written and how it was given to the church. Paul the Apostle had written this letter to the Ephesians. It was sent to them, not by him, but by someone who took it to them. And what would take place at that point is they would gather the whole church together and they would read the letter out loud to everybody. When I say everybody, that means they would even read the letter to the children that were there. Notice that Paul does not say, when you go home after hearing this letter, tell your children these things. He says specifically, and he's talking to them directly, children, obey your parents. Why? Because he expected those kids to be there in church to hear what he had to say. Not to have the parents pass it down because the kids weren't there. You know, it saddens my heart when I hear parents say, I want my kids to want to come to church. I don't want them to feel like they have to go to church. So I don't force them to come to church. please remember this. If you have this concept of having to have to go and force them to go, remember, none of us have to come to church. But we what? We get to come to church. Church should be a place that we want to go. Church should be a place that we desire to go to spend time with the Lord as an individual and as a family together. It's a time that we come and we get ministered to, and we get to minister to others that are around us. I cannot tell you how many times after service, when I'm just talking with you, that you guys have ministered to me and spoken words without even knowing it that go deep into my heart, that answer something that I've been asking the Lord about. How often that happens right after church, just by hanging out and talking. Fellowship. God speaks to us. You're robbing yourself if you run out the door real quick. Well, I'm shy. Well, stick around and say hello, and you won't be shy anymore. Ask Marcy. Who is probably one of the shyest people in this entire church? Me. I am. I feel much more comfortable in a crowded room finding a chair where no one's around and just sitting and watching people. I'm a happy camper. But you know what? The Lord told me that's not right. And so I'll go up to people now. I'll ask them their name. I'll see how you're doing and how you've been, et cetera, et cetera. It's not easy for me. It's not my nature. But you know what? It's God's nature to get to know people. And so therefore, I'm asking God to help me on that. And he's improved me a lot. I've got a long ways to go, but he's improved me on that. And so I encourage you that you need to have that attitude as a parent. You need to have the attitude as a parent, man, I get to go to church. This is awesome, guys. Tomorrow we're going to go to church, so let's get plenty of sleep and get up early and we'll have breakfast and we'll go. Boy, what a difference that makes, because you see, your kids will catch that from you and you will not have to force them. But if you allow them to stay up real late at night and, you know, they're tired in the morning, they stay up till 1 or 2 in the morning, playing their games or out with their friends. I'm too tired to go to church. It's so boring. Well, it's so boring because you want to be sleeping. And your mind can't concentrate. You haven't prepared yourself to come to church. And I know some of you even use church to catch up on the sleep the night before. Don't think I don't see you. Why do you think the platform is so high? I can see you. And also, think about that. When you're not listening to me and you're talking to people next to you, I can see you too. Big brother. No, Pastor Pete. We need to prepare ourselves. How many of you, don't raise your hands, how many of you prayed for me throughout this week that I would be prepared to put the message together and that you would be prepared to receive the message? Think about that. Some of you may not even have prayed for me about anything this week. Not even my ingrown toenail. I don't have one, as Chuck or as Kirk said. But you see what I'm saying? You come prepared, you're going to leave blessed beyond measure. You come exhausted, or you're thinking, oh man, I'd rather be home watching the football game. You know, your heart's not here. But when your heart gets to that point, I get to go, your kids are going to catch that. A while back, Dad came to me and he said this, my kids don't want to go to church. Why is that? Why are they acting the way they're acting? And I told him, I said, well, if I can be quite honest and transparent with you, you have a history of coming and getting excited about the Lord and excited about serving and excited about this and excited about that, and you bring your kids to this. And then you lose your excitement and you end up not coming for a while. Then after a bit, you get excited again and drag your kids back and they do all this. But you know what? Your example to your kids What they're doing is they know that when you get excited about going to church, it's only going to be for a little while. And then they're not going to be able to hang out with the friends that they made. So they're protecting themselves by not wanting to go because they know that you're only going to go for a short time. And then you're not going to go anymore, and they're not going to be able to see their friends anymore. And as a result of that, you've now allowed ungodly influence into your children's lives. They are now doing the things that the ungodly influence now has on their lives because that's what's surrounding them right now. And I said, that's what's happened in your life. And he looked at me and he goes, understood. I completely understand what you're saying. You see, our children are going to catch what we naturally live. They're going to catch us. If we're in love with God, they're going to see that. They're going to want that. If you force it on them, you got to get up. Come on, get out of bed, you jerk. You know, you think they're going to actually be excited about coming? When you act one way at home, and then you walk in the door, hey, brother, hallelujah. How are you? Oh, I've been blessed. My family's blessed. Except for this one, I had to drag out of bed that heathen kid of mine. You think your kid wants to be put under that and see you? Or they want to see Jesus in you? They'll catch that if they do. By the way, notice the first word here in chapter 6. It says children. Very interesting word. The word in the Greek is tikono, and tikono refers to, listen closely, anyone of any age living under his slant, her parents' roof. A child, this word child, in the Greek, as the word as the Greek explains it, could be a youngster, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10. It could be a 19-year-old. It could be a 22-year-old. It could be a 32-year-old, or it could be a 45-year-old, if they are still living under their parents' roof. That is what this Greek word child means. And there's been a lot of problems in society, especially now with the economy, what it is, where kids, all they wanted to do was grow up and get away, and they grow up and they get away, and they know they can't make it, so what do? They come back and they live at mom and dad's house. But they think, well, I'm growing up, so I can do whatever I want. No, according to this, you're still in the Greek under their authority. That means whatever the house rules are that have been established, if you are living under their house, you need to obey those rules. It's that simple. That's what the Word of God is saying here. It's so important that if you fall into that classification, that if you are an older person living in your parents' home, that you need to, and the scripture says, children, what? The next word, obey, and I'll get into that in just a minute, what that word means. Obey your parents, and you need to honor them by following the home's rules. If that means, no matter how old you are, and their house rule is that we're all going to go as a family to church, that means you need to obey that. And if you don't want to obey that, then move out. Go get your own place. You know, the scripture says trust in the Lord. It doesn't say trust in your parents' provision and their wallet and their money to keep you surviving. You need to get down and thank God that they just let you back in if you're older. It's by their love for you that's that way. And if they love you enough to say, yes, you can come back in, then you need, according to the word here, to honor the house rules. Thus, parents, you need to make sure you have godly house rules so that there can be peace in the family and tranquility in the family. And that the things that they're going to obey, they'll obey that will honor God. Now, I mentioned, what is this word obey? In the Greek, it's hupakenoua, and it's H-U-P-A-K-O-U-O, which speaks of this in the Greek, of a soldier who is about to engage in a battle, listening carefully for the orders and the instruction of the commanding officer. that if he doesn't listen carefully, he could be in the wrong place at the wrong time, and it could cost him his life or possibly the lives of other people around him. Listening carefully, intently, as if your life depended on it. The scriptural command here to obey parents never, ever authorizes a response from a child, and I don't care if they're little or if they're old living in your house, an attitude of, yeah, whatever. If that's the attitude they have towards you parents, show them the door. If they're not willing to honor and respect you and show love for what you're doing for them, if they're older, then say, if you don't want to live in our house and follow the rules, there's the door. Trust the Lord. We had to in our life, and he'll bless you as long as you follow him and according to the word of God. But they should listen and obey as if their life depended on it. And you know what? Spiritually, it just might depend upon it. Or physically as well, when you obey. Let me give you an example. Marcy and I were visiting a family at their home. Our youngest son, who's about 30, was at that time only about 4 years old, just a little guy. Marcy had taken the two girls and put them in our little station wagon, which was across the street. Peter was right there, and I was trying to say our final goodbyes, and it's kind of like Paul in Philippians, finally my brother, and finally my brother, and finally my brother, because they kept wanting to talk, and Peter took his hand off of mine, and I'm trying to excuse herself at that time, and I turned around, noticed he wasn't next to me, and I looked, and I saw a car speeding down the road. He had stepped off the curb. He was in the front of the car. He's too small to be seen by the car coming, and he was ready to step out, and I yelled, "Peter!" And his foot started to go down, and he pivoted and came back this way, and the car would have squished him. But because he obeyed, he's alive today. You know, God says obey so we can spiritually be alive. Sometimes physically, but spiritually be alive. Now, even if you don't like the rules of your parents, you still need to do them with their godly rules. And this is how you do it. As unto the Lord. There have been times in my life and jobs that I've had, the things that I've been asked to do, I didn't like doing it. I remember when I moved down here and started the church, I was working construction, and I went out there, and there was a ditch that I was supposed to dig, and I had to go and just keep trenching it back and forth, and part of it, it was in a septic line, okay? And it was a smelly one. And the ground, huh? You've dug clay down here, right? It's not fun. Well, the majority of it was clay, but when it got in the septic, it stunk, but it was soft. Well, as I was left there all day in this heat in the middle of summer, I'm digging this hard stuff and pulling it. And at first, I'm getting to this stinky stuff, and I'm going, oh, God, why do I got to be in this stinky stuff? It's, you know, it smells. And I go back, and I get in the hard stuff, and oh, God, this is, my attitude stunk for the first 3 years I was down here. It really did. And the Lord dealt with me and told me, the valley's not bad. Your attitude stinks. And when I finally took that right attitude, you know, the summers aren't bad. The temperature is still the same, but my attitude's so much better. But when the heat got hotter, I'm down there looking forward to getting into that soft dirt. Think about it. Because by the time I got to that point, I was doing it under the Lord and not complaining. And then all of a sudden, that soft dirt was a lot easier to dig than with a pick on this hard dirt back here. You know, sometimes we look at things and we complain about it and it's difficult. But when we look at it and say, Lord, I'm going to do this as unto you, guess what? It doesn't become hard anymore. It becomes a joy. How many things do we actually do? And you children that are out here, how many things do you do that are very difficult for you? The reason for that is you're not doing it as unto the Lord. And that's so important that we recognize that and we do it as unto the Lord. Now, Does that mean that a child has to do everything the parent would ever ask them to do? No. And Paul affirms that here in verse 1 where he says, children, obey your parents in the Lord. Now, what does that mean? Although a child has to listen to their parents as if their life depends on it, they only need to embrace and do what the parent asks if it is in the Lord. In other words, if it's biblical. If a parent would ask a child something that's outside the Word of God, you know, the bills are tough this week. Tell you what, I want you to drive the car as I go rob 7-Eleven. They don't need to do that. They do not need to do that. A child is not required to do anything that is outside the Word of God. However, if a child is going to say, I'm not going to do that because that's not God's will, therefore I will not obey. Let me say this, child. You better have chapter and verse and your theology down pat. Instead of just saying, well, that's not written in the Bible, I'm not going to do it. You better be able to prove it. And parents, you better know your Bible well enough when they try to pull the wool over your head and your face that you know that they're just trying to pull a fast one on you. Know the Word of God. Have your house rules set upon the Word of God. Have your children know what the house rules are to begin with. You see, one of the first signs of the breakdown of society is when children refuse to obey their parents. Do you realize that? When children refuse to obey their parents is one of the first signs of society breaking down. Look at our society today. You know, the Old Testament had a law. And I think that you parents should sit down when your kids complain about how tough they have it and say, I want to show you what you would have been living in if you were living under the Old Testament. In Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy chapter 21, 18 through 21 says this. If a man have a stubborn and a rebellious son, and we can go slant daughter because it could be the same thing, which will not obey the voice of his father or the voice of his mother, and that when they have chastened, corrected him, disciplined him, and will not hearken unto them, then shall the father and his mother or her mother lay hold of them. In other words, grab them and bring them to the elders of the city and say this, this is our son, slant daughter, who is rebellious and stubborn, and he will not obey our voice. He is a glutton and a drunkard, and all the men of the city shall stone him with stones, that he die. So thou shalt put evil away from among you, and all of Israel shall hear and fear. You need to tell your kids, you need to thank Jesus every single day. You're not under the Old Testament law when stoning was available. Because if I could, kid, I'd take you outside the city and have them stone you right now. Hey, it works. I use it on my kids. I told them that. I said, look at what Deuteronomy says. You know, there's a proverb that says that if a child left to himself will bring shame to his mother. And I cannot tell you how many times after 37 years of ministering down here that Marcy and I have had to minister to broken-hearted mothers and broken-hearted fathers. And yet Proverbs 6 has a wonderful exhortation for children if they'd only take heart to it. Proverbs 6, 20 through 26 says, my son, keep my father's commandments and forsake not the law of thy mother. Bind them continually upon your heart and tie them about your neck. When thou goest, it shall lead you. And when thou sleepest, it shall keep thee. And when thou awakest, it shall talk with thee. For the commandment is a lamp, and the law is light, and the reproof of instructions are the way of life. Keep thee, and they will keep thee from evil women. And I may add, the Word of God will also keep you from evil men who just want to satisfy their lust, if it's referring to a girl here. So they keep you from evil women or from men. from the flattery of the tongue of a strange woman. Lust not after her beauty in thine heart, neither let her take thee with her eyelids. For by mean of a whorish woman, a man is brought to a piece of bread, and the adulteress will hunt for a precious life. The word of God brings blessings and keeps you out of problems. If we understand the word of God and we hold to the word of God and we say, I am going to do what the word of God says and not yield to temptation. When those temptations come, remember, I shared this with you. Temptation is not a sin. It's doing the temptation and following through. Jesus was tempted and he had no sin. And so we see that it will keep us from that temptation. It will guide us. It will be our standard, our light in a dark world. If God's word is kept, it will bring blessings to you and to those around you. If not, it will bring hurt and shame. And that's why Paul closes verse 1 by saying, for this is right. For this is right. What is right? Children, no matter what age, if you're living in the house, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. I think we all desire to do right, but we need to do God's right. And as we do, it'll be pleasing to the Lord. Well, what's part of doing God's way and making it right? Verse 2 and 3, where it says, honor your father and your mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with you and you may live long on the earth. Honor your father and your mother. When Moses brought down the two tablets of stone that the Lord God had inscribed on those tablets of stone. The first tablet, if you would be the vertical tablet that we've been talking about. That stone deals with the commandments of man's relationship with God, the first tablet. The second tablet of stone of the laws governs man's relationship with fellow man. That's that horizontal that we're in now in Ephesians. If our vertical is right, our horizontal is going to be right. The Ten Commandments is an example of this. The first part of it, be right with Jesus. Be right with Jesus, things are going to be good with people around you. So it tells the children that here, the very first commandment is that with all human relationships, it says, honor thy father and thy mother, that the days may be long in the land that the Lord thy God has given thee. It's interesting that in Genesis chapter 20 there, or Exodus, excuse me, chapter 20, when it talks about the Ten Commandments, that the rabbis talk about this long life, not necessarily meaning of time, but of a spiritual longevity, that you'll have a lot of spiritual things in your life for a long time. You'll be blessed with a spiritual life. You see, there can be a person very young in life who has spiritual longevity. You can live to 110, and maybe you're old, but you have no spiritual life in your life whatsoever. A lot of people, you know, have, like Jim Elliot, he lived a very short life, but boy, his legacy still goes on and affects people around the world to this day. And the short life that he had, I think he was 23 when he died. But look what he's done. And so we need to take the time that we have, as the scripture says, redeem those times. And as we redeem those times, we're going to have those spiritual blessings. When we honor our father and our mother, we are adding those spiritual blessings, not only onto them, but onto us as well. Because as I mentioned earlier, the breakdown of the family is one of the first signs of the breakdown of society. Paul the Apostle is very acute on this. As a matter of fact, when he wrote to Timothy, who is pastoring, he said this in 2 Timothy 3:1. He was referring to the perilous times that were coming in the last days. And one of those signs of the perilous times was disobedient to parents. Now, we've already talked about the husband-wife relationship. Now we're talking about in a godly home when you have children that are not obeying. We see disobedience to parents as one of the perilous times that would be there. I don't know if you've noticed a lot, but there's a lot of things happening in our society where there's disobedience to parents. They're not obeying, and the consequences have been devastating to our society. What blessedness, what joy that there is in a strong family spiritual relationship. What a delight it is, and I'm sure you've experienced this, when you visit someone's house and you can see that the children love their parents, they're obedient, they honor their parents, whatever the parents say, they do, and they're not going crazy. But what misery there is in a home when a child is left with no control whatsoever. And you've been in homes like that where the kids run wild, they do whatever they want, they jump on things, they make noise, they're not obedient and just being quiet. It's just pure chaos. The other day, Marcy and I went to Carol's. By the way, Carol's has this codfish and a salad that's only 440 calories. And that cod is amazing. Anyway, besides that, well, I only have one more page on my notes, so it's okay. So you can go get something to eat. But as Marcy went into the ladies' room to wash her hands, I was sitting there, and she didn't get to hear this, but our booth was right here, and you know, there's a little hallway and or a walkway, and then there's a booth right there. There's a mother, a daughter, and a little guy. And this waitress came up to take their order. And so the waitress is starting to write down what the mother's saying. And all of a sudden, this little boy, had to be five, maybe, four or five. She's talking to the waitress, and the little boy sees something on the picture because he's too young to read. He wants something that the menu shows on a picture. And he starts this, "Mom, mom, 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 mom." And the mother never says a word to him and keeps talking to the waitress. And you know, they're trying to talk and trying to give the order, and the little boy's getting, "Mom, mom, 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 mom." And I'm sitting there looking at the menu, and I'm looking at this, and I'm going, "Stick a dirty sock in that kid's mouth. Mother, tell him to be quiet. Wait. Mom, 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 mom." And as soon as the waitress walked away, he stopped. I sat there and I went, "Oh my God." Not for just what he did there and there. I wasn't brokenhearted over, you know, his behavior just there. I'm thinking about the pain that mother is going to experience in the years to come, because a boy does not have parameters, does not have lines. And when children don't have lines, they're going to go do whatever they want to do. And there's dangers in that. And that's why it's so critically important that we in our homes, we have our kids understand that these are the rules, and if you break the rules, there's consequences. And they need to know it in advance. This is the rule, and if you break this rule, this is the consequence. There's none of this stuff about, "Now, how many times have I told you to stop that? Now stop it." You're laying there on the couch, "Stop it." One of two things is happening. Either your back is thrown out and you can't move, or you're just lazy and don't want to get off that couch and go deal with it. And we've got way too many lazy parents. Rather yell at them, "Stop it, stop it, stop it." And they keep doing it, and they know that you're just going to keep doing it and keep doing it and keep doing it. And you're not going to stop them. I used to, with my kids, and I wish I would have known this earlier, we used to do the three system. Well, they always knew they got till three until they got in trouble. But I wanted them to know that three could start at any time. Sometimes it'd be one, two, three. Sometimes it'd be two, three. Sometimes it would be three. I wouldn't count to three. I just go, "Now I've told you to stop it. Three, let's go." They never knew when it was coming. But I should have just said, "You know what, I've said it, and I don't need to count. If you do it, that's it. You know the consequence, and I'm going to deal with it." How difficult is it for us to set? It's easy to set it up, but how disciplined are we to follow through? We need to follow through if we love our children. If not, They're going to grow up,
Mom, 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 Mom.
And you're going to say, what did I create in this kid? Simply because you didn't establish your house rules and you didn't follow through with your house rules. You know, kind of in closing, because I have two more verses I want to read with you, let me read to you Psalms 19, 7 through 11, as it shows what is available not only to children, but to adults if we hold to the Word of God and what it'll do for us. In Psalms 19, verse 7, it says, the law of the Lord is perfect, converting the soul. The testimony of the Lord is sure, making wise the simple. The statutes of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart. The commandment of the Lord is pure, enlightening the eyes. The fear of the Lord is clean, enduring forever. The judgments of the Lord are true and righteous altogether. More to be desired are they than gold, yea, than much fine gold, sweeter than honey and the honeycomb. Moreover, by them is thy servant warned, and in keeping of them there is, notice, great reward. You see, there is great reward when we spiritually are healthy vertically with our relationship with God. There is great reward when we are spiritually, biblically, horizontally correct in our relationships, one with our spouse if we're married, then with our children, and great reward when our children are vertically or are horizontally correct spiritually. In other words, honoring their father and their mother in the proper way. There is great rewards. Oh, the pain people cause themselves and others when they choose to do things their own way instead of God's way. I'm going to read two last verses to you. Proverbs 14:12 and Proverbs 16:24 or 16:25. Proverbs 14:12 says this. There is a way which seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Proverbs 16:25 reads this way. There is a way that seems right unto a man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Well, wait a minute. You just read that for verse 12 of Proverbs 14. I did. And guess what? It's identical to Proverbs 16:25. Listen to it again. There is a way that seems right unto man. Oh, I think I know best, but the end thereof are ways of death. You know, if a person is left to themselves, they're going to end up going in a sinful way. And that's why they need the parameters. That's why mankind needs the parameters. These two things, these two proverbs are identical. Let me close with this. Yesterday at the men's time, subject matter came up, and Lou was talking about when he went to A school in the Navy, and he says the way he likes to learn is he does better by listening, and he hands-on and listens, and hands-on is the best way he can learn. And he had this one class that he was the top of the class, and they couldn't figure out why he was the top of the class. And they'd have these study groups, and he goes, I don't learn that way. Well, how are you getting all the good grades? And he said, the teacher said this at the beginning of the course, if I say something twice, it's most likely going to be on the test. If I say something twice, it's most likely going to be on the test. And he told it to the rest of the guys, and he didn't study with them. But in his notes, he would go back. And he would study whatever the teacher said twice, and it was on the test, and he always got the highest grade. Folks, it's been said twice right here. In the Old Testament, it's been said, children, obey your parents. Honor your parents. The New Testament, it says, children, obey your parents. Honor your parents, for this is right in the Lord. Colossians says, this is well-pleasing to the Lord. Children, and it doesn't matter how old you are, if you're living in the house that your parents are providing, then you need to be submissive to them, you need to honor them, and you need to obey the house rules as long as they are godly rules. And if you do that, you are going to be a blessing to your father and a blessing to your mother. Thus says the Word of God. Amen. Let's pray. Father,